Nation.
This is Smith Sabatino, and we're talking to Dr. Michael Schmidt, the lead PhD researcher on a copper study, and he's also professor of microbiology at the Medical University of South Carolina. And we're discussing the microbial values of copper. And when we last left in our last section, Dr. Schmidt, I asked you, did you have to overcome the stigma of wearing a copper bracelet for arthritis that so many people have done and athletes have used over the last several decades?
It was certainly part of the institutional review board. When you do clinical trials, you present your proposed research plan before a group of individuals that are going to review it for the ethical, moral, and scientific standards. And so, as you point out, this has been folklore for many years, and they were curious whether or not the mechanism was similar, and we simply just didn't go down that path of trying to either refute or strengthen the research associated with the copper bracelets. What we presented was the antimicrobial activity that's intrinsic to the copper element itself. And it goes back into the fancy quantum chemistry of copper itself and why humans have used copper as a conductor. I mean, it's why we used it in cooking because it conducted heat so well. It's why we still use it in heat transfer today, and it's principally why we use it for transferring electrons around or electricity is because it's so efficient.
Right. Are there any hospitals or medical facilities now that are installing these copper components?
The way I like to refer to this, we're in the kick the tire phase. Many hospitals are beginning to do pilot trials, putting it into their hospitals in defined units. Because there are commercial sources where you can buy an overbed tray table and you can buy an end table and you can buy chairs with copper arms. Like I said earlier in the last segment, I'm currently groveling to bed manufacturers to make a turnkey so you don't have to send it out. The bed was the key to our study. And if you think about this, this makes perfect sense because hospitals, it's all about safety. And we've all had small children, and the first time our child slept in the big boy bed or the big girl bed, we walled them in with pillows so they wouldn't fall out. Well, hospitals are smarter than parents. They actually put rails on beds so they won't fall out. And that's what we teach every healthcare provider to do. The minute they turn their back on the patient, that rail is up to make certain the patient doesn't fall out of the bed. And so the rail is the most frequently touched item, and irrespective of hand hygiene, the rail is touched with and without gloves, and it just moves microbes throughout the hospital environment. And that's how the infections are likely spread, as a consequence of touch or simply as a consequence of settling the microbes out of the air. So we found that the bed rail worked, as did many of the other high touch points. Patient environment.
Dr. Schmidt, I'm going to ask a very a practical question. When a lot of our listeners are parents, young parents, who have children in school, and we know, as I do, and I have a young child, there's no more germ-ridden environment than a young classroom with children carrying various colds and coughs and gosh knows what else from child to child. And the possibility of installing this in the lower grade schools, the lower grade classrooms in schools across the country, do you see that as a possibility? Did your clinical trial take any of that in its practical application outside of the hospital into use?
We didn't test it in schools, but schools are ideal because they have simple things that we already know how to do and are already available in the marketplace. This nation's largest manufacturer of door hardware is actively looking at developing a line of antimicrobial door hardware, principally for schools. And if you think about it, every kid touches the doorknob to enter and exit the classroom. The other area, because keyboarding is such a big thing and computers are so ubiquitous in our school system, keyboards and mice are already available made out of antimicrobial copper in the marketplace. so what I would do is, if I was going into school system, I would go after the push plate on the restroom door. I would go after the doorknobs and the door hardware associated with entering and exiting the schools. And I would go after the keyboards and mice.
Dr. Smith.
And then talk to the kids about hand hygiene.
Give me a website where people can learn more.
Antimicrobial.com. Antimicrobialcopper.com.
Antimicrobialcopper.com.
That's it.
Thank you, Dr. Schmidt, for joining us on Smith Sabatino.
A great pleasure. Call Sabatino. Roland Smith, this is Smith Sabatino. Please stay with us. More to come.
This is attorney Jay Coleman with The Final Verdict. Jim is a South Dakotan who's always in a rush to get to work. One morning, he was pulled over while eating a donut and coffee on the road. The cop gave Jim a citation for distracted driving, but he and millions of others eat breakfast while driving every day of the week. Is there a law against eating and driving? The Final Verdict after this.
Don't try to fight the IRS on your own. Use Coast One Financial Group and let them help you get a fresh start. Dial 877-219-8780. That's 877-219-8780.
Yes, in several states or specific regions, the distracted driving law specifically mentions food as a distraction, which is illegal. Recently, more states are considering driving while eating to be a problem, and that's the final verdict.
Now, Cheap Psych Tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Going to the doctor? Then you better pick the right time. You see, if you're just going in for your usual physical or have a potentially painful procedure scheduled, there are times of day when the poking, the prodding, and the slide up on the table, please, it just won't hurt as much. Here's the science of it. Go to the doctor or the dentist in the mornings, not the afternoons. Go in the morning before 11. It has to do with the body's circadian rhythms or body clock. You see, pains are felt their least in the morning. Any poking, prodding, or pricking will hurt more in the afternoon. What's the cheap psychological trick? Scheduling an appointment with your healthcare professional. Trust me, go in the morning, and at that time of day, you might even enjoy it. Drop me a line at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.